Three men have been found dead in the Arizona desert this week near the Mexican border. A survivor says the group was smuggling drugs. Officials suspect the dead men suffered dehydration and heat exhaustion. The hottest and most remote stretches of desert have become popular routes for drug smugglers because of tighter enforcement elsewhere along the border. That's overwhelming local people and the police. In the first of two reports, NPR's Howard Berkus visits an Indian reservation west of Tucson where desert heat, rattlesnakes, and razor-sharp cactus don't deter smugglers.
Like a line on a map, a barbed wire fence stretches straight and even east and west, neatly slicing a windswept sea of cactus and mesquite. This is a good day to cross from Mexico because the air has cooled to 105 degrees and there's no one around, except Kenneth Williams, a representative of the Tohono O'odham Indian Nation. The tribe's reservation extends 70 miles along the border, which divides the tribe as well as two countries.
Our people have always moved back and forth because we consider it as one people and we don't see the border, but the illegal aliens have always come across the border, but that never really bothered us. But within the last 10 years, I think the number of illegal aliens have increased, doubled, or even tripled. And with that also the increase in drugs across the border.
Williams calls this Drug Alley, and it's aptly named. In just the last 3 years, reservation marijuana seizures more than tripled to as much as 5,000 pounds a month. And that's believed to be a fraction of what's missed. The dope is carried in burlap sacks on smugglers' backs who follow dry washes 20 miles to a paved highway. Couriers pick up and drive the drugs as close as Phoenix and Tucson and as far as California and Florida. Larry Seligman is the chief of police of the Tohono O'odham Nation.
It's not hard to be successful at seizing dope here. I used to joke with our guys, if you can't seize dope here, you need to go sell insurance because this is an easy place to be in that business. There's so much coming through.
And as smugglers come through, they create an atmosphere of fear in remote settlements and ranches where the heat and isolation would seem to insulate people from crime. But steel bars cross windows and doors of border homes.
Got to keep one eye open at night. You can feel them, you know, and then especially when the dogs start barking.
Arnold Smith sits in the shade of a makeshift veranda just a good shout from the border. He and his brother Oliver fear leaving their homes, leaving wives and children and grandchildren alone when the men go out to check on cattle or drive to town. Drug smugglers are to blame, says Oliver Smith.
They came in, they tried to take my truck at gunpoint, but I was too fast for them. Second time, they came again, tried to do the same thing. I pulled a gun on them again, they took off. That's why I had to make my own security windows, and I got a rifle right in my living room, and then another one right at the door there, another one on this other door, and another pistol in the bathroom.
Just that morning, Smith saw a half dozen young men sitting with bags ready to cross the border. He says the smugglers are more aggressive now and traveling year-round, even on the hottest days of summer. The increasing flow of drugs and the threats to local people put the Tohono O'odham police in a bind. They find it difficult to respond to both. The Smiths and others complain about unanswered calls for help. The police complain about the time they spend on drug busts. Police Chief Larry Seligman.
We are a small local law enforcement agency dedicated to the concept of community policing, and yet we were spending 35% to 40% of our operational assets on strategic international border related issues, illegal immigration and narcotic smuggling. And we were doing this on behalf of the United States federal government to the exclusion of the services we're supposed to be providing to the many villages throughout the 5,000 square miles of the nation.
So last month, Seligman reassigned his narcotics unit to routine duties. He also told his entire force not to assist the U.S. Border Patrol in rounding up the illegal immigrants or the U.S. Customs Service in tracking drug smugglers. Seligman hopes that withdrawal of support will pressure the federal government into paying the tribe so we can hire more officers.
We should be compensated for this effort that we are putting into this problem in this part of the United States. This is a United States federal problem. This problem is taking us away from serving the needs of our community, and we need help. And we've told anyone who would listen that we need help, and we haven't gotten a whole lot of help.
The Customs Service says the withdrawal of tribal police hurts the border drug-fighting effort. The Tohono O'odham officers assisted in more than half of customs drug seizures. But it's been difficult for the tribe to draw a fine line between border smuggling and community policing, because the drug trade both victimizes and involves tribal members. That's apparent on one of the bumpy dirt roads in Sells, the biggest town on the reservation, and the destination of traffickers seeking the paved highway. Tribal Police Supervisor Sandy Johnson steers her patrol car in and out of desert washes in Sells.
They use the washes, they travel through the washes, and then they stash their loads. That house right there, been several loads picked up, removed from that home.
Are local people involved in some of this?
Yeah, quite a few local people are. And sometimes it's surprising, because these are working people that you would never expect to be involved in it.
Why do they do it, you think?
It's the money.
The money seduced at least one police officer and relatives of other officers who were among the local people snared in recent drug smuggling busts. Some of the smuggled marijuana and cocaine stay on the reservation, where there's increasing drug use among young people. This means the tribe is also responsible for drug interdiction, suggests Renee Andrew, the regional agent in charge at the U.S. Customs Service.
The responsibility, especially for the war on drugs, is not solely ours. It can't be. The problem is bigger than the Border Patrol, than Customs, and all the state and locals combined. The best we can hope is to go and make it expensive enough to where, after a while, it isn't as readily available. I believe it's a war that we dare not fight.
The Tohono O'odham police chief now agrees after seeing reservation drug problems grow. He reestablished his narcotics unit last week. Tribal officials are still demanding federal funds, along with towns and counties and federal reserves all along the Arizona border. They're seeking money from Congress to help them respond to the flood of illegal immigrants and drug smugglers. The U.S. Border Patrol is already sending new agents to the region, and the U.S. Customs Service wants to expand its only patrol unit in the entire country, which happens to be based on the Tohono O'odham Nation.
We're proving daily that the old get off the vehicle, get on your 2 feet, and track the bad guys is still a viable and highly efficient means of interdicting smuggling of any type through the undeveloped borders of our country.
Tomorrow, a Customs Service patrol made up solely of Native Americans who use ancient tracking skills in the Arizona desert to flush out modern smugglers.
Okay, see right here? There's the carpet right here.
So that's a track from a piece of carpet that somebody fixed to their shoe.
Yeah, they're trying to hide their shoe prints and make it harder for us to find them.
Howard Burkus, NPR News.